It's Marketplace Tech for July 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Google will release its latest earnings report. It comes at an interesting moment for the tech giant. Big projects like internet beaming balloons and augmented reality have yet to pay off. Google, as a company, is a big spender, and that might spell trouble for the company with investors. Reporter Nova Safo takes a look.
1,800 new hires in a single quarter doesn't sound like cutting back unless you're Google. The tech giant hired around 2,400 new employees each quarter last year. Mark Mahaney of RBC Capital Markets says Google has to do more to soothe worried Wall Street.
There's concern that Google's core advertising revenue growth rates are slowing, that they cannot or will not do a tough enough of a job managing expenses.
Mahaney says Google is losing ground in search ads, its bread and butter, to mobile platforms like Facebook and others.
All those concerns that people have, they look backwards.
Carlos Kirshner of Bernstein Research says Google still has room to grow. It's investing in self-driving cars, which could pay off in the future. It's also investing in current moneymakers like Android and search.
All of these require computer science and engineering and infrastructure,
which are expensive. Kirshner says Google spent an unusually high amount last year, and he's looking for that spending to slow down. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
By the way, you may have heard us previewing Netflix earnings yesterday. The video streaming company beat expectations, adding 2.5 million subscribers outside of the U.S. This week, the White House announced a new initiative called Connect Home. The goal? Bring broadband internet access to 275,000 low-income households in 27 cities around the country. The initiative will partner private companies with the federal government and local communities to get people access to broadband. It's a service FCC head Tom Wheeler has called a necessity. One of the cities involved is Kansas City. And when I was there last, I talked to somebody who had been working on getting low-income households online. So we figured we'd ask him about all this. Michael Limata is at the organization Connecting for Good, which helps low-income communities get access to both internet and computers. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Good to talk to you again, Ben.
You help people from low-income communities connect with the internet in Kansas City, Kansas. Can you describe how people go from not getting access to getting it?
Well, I think one of the things that we've come to believe after doing this for about 3 years is that the first hurdle is getting a computer in the home. And there are areas of Kansas City where only one in five households has a computer. The second thing is a factor that I would call intimidation. So many people know they need to be online, but I think they don't know where to go to learn how to use it.
Do you think that access to broadband or high-speed internet is really necessary for low-income communities?
Well, I really believe that. I mean, it's how you find safe housing. It's how you find vehicles. It's how you find jobs. And even with children, I think who are the folks who are really affected most by the digital divide, there's this whole issue of the homework gap. So I think like here in Kansas City, we've seen a phenomenon where kids are at the library late at night, working on homework after dark, and parents aren't all excited about that.
Michael Limata is the president of the organization Connecting for Good. Michael, thank you very much.
Good to talk with you.
All right, it is time for us to go back to the future part two. Our series on the 1989 movie about time travel explores technologies predicted in the film, which takes place in the year 2015. Now that we're here in real life, it's time to see what we got and what we don't. So let's talk about three-dimensional holograms. In the movie, Marty McFly gets chomped by a holographic shark. Matt Novak writes Gizmodo's Paleo Future blog and joins me to talk about this. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good, except I don't have a giant 3D shark. Can you describe the scene a little bit for us?
Well, once Marty has been transported from 1985 to the futuristic world of 2015, as we all know, in Back to the Future 2, he gets a bit of a fright when he sees what looks like a giant Jaws that is about to bite him. turns out this is from the Holographic Theater in his little town square there. And it sort of speaks to this expectation, I think, that that we expected 3D technology to really take off in all sorts of different directions.
We've also seen a lot of examples in science fiction generally. This is a key moment in Star Wars with Princess Leia being projected out of R2-D2, right?
For sure. And I think that you keep seeing it pop up in sci-fi because we want a more quote-unquote realistic version of our entertainment. You know, we're constantly looking at screens, and these screens represent a 2D version of reality. And sometimes it's not just consumers, because you see, you know, 3D TV was arguably a flop. I don't know if you remember back in, say, 2011, 2012, CES, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't get enough of 3D TV.
3D, it's going to be huge.
And it turns out you need to wear these really awkward, terrible glasses to achieve 3D.
Right, and we've heard of these other companies like Magic Leap, which is supposedly working on these weird projectors to project items into your field of view as you go throughout the real world.
We'll have to see if it's something that people really want to adopt. And who knows? I mean, that's kind of the exciting thing about futurism. No one knows what's in store. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Can we give this a thumbs up or a thumbs down? We don't have holo film yet, really.
No, I can't go down to the multiplex and check out Jaws 4 through 19 in 3D.
Matt Novak writes the Paleo Future blog at Gizmodo and is our guide to the series. Matt, thank you very much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Remember, you can always write us about this series at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. Jonathan Smith wrote recently to say, I can't wait to hear about scenery channels or hollow billboards. John, I think your wish has now been granted. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.